I count it a privilege to be here this morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers, your cards, your understanding that you've given to us in the past weeks and undergoing surgery as we did, and the Lord has been gracious to bring us back, and we praise Him. I want you to turn with us in your Bibles to John chapter 17. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Our brother read the fence through the 19th. John chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou sendest me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all thine, mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Let us pray. Our Father, we lift up our heart to thee this morning. It's open before thee. There's nothing there that is hid from thine eye. Lord, sin we don't want. Sin we hate. Sin we abhor. We don't want it in the heart. We don't want to walk in our way. Neither do we desire, blessed Lord, that we would be lifted up today, but that Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord, would be lifted up and magnified and glorified in our eyes. And as our blessed Lord Jesus prayed here, that he may be glorified in us, and as he glorified the Father, may indeed we glorify him this morning. And our Father, as thou didst answer our Lord's prayer, that he would have that glory as the Son of Man that he had as the Son of God from eternity. And as you answered that prayer, we ask in Christ's name that thou will answer our prayer this morning, and that the Son will be glorified in our midst, in each word that is spoken, and that Christ Jesus will be all and in all. We need thee. We trust thee. We call upon thy holy and righteous name for thy mercy. We ask for the cleansing of thy precious blood. We ask that thy Spirit will work effectually in our hearts. For Lord, it's all in vain unless thy Spirit does work. And there sits before us precious souls this morning. We do pray that thou wilt deal with each one. Thou wilt give each one of us seeing eyes and hearing ears, because they all come from thee. Our hearts will be quieted before thee, and that the words spoken in this morning hour, along with those given last night, Lord, our hearts will be melted at thy feet. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. The greatest thing in all the world is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this life or the life to come that will ever overshadow the reality and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed by His Spirit to the human soul. If God in His mercy, and if God in His grace, by His Spirit, has given us that effectual call to salvation, and He has worked in our hearts that convicting power whereby we are laid at His feet in dust and ashes, and we are made to mourn over sin as sin against a holy and a righteous God, and God would give us a foretaste of the wrath that we are under as sinners, and then it pleases Him in the fullness of time to reveal His Son in us and cause us to know the intimate relationship and communion with the living God, which God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest thing that can ever happen to the human soul, to come to know Christ in that living, loving, and lasting union of walking with Him in experimental salvation day by day. As most of you know, we lay in the hospital for 2 weeks during the middle weeks of June. And I don't know when my Lord has ever been as precious to my soul as He was then and has been revealed unto my heart out of the Word. And this 17th chapter of John became such a precious portion to my heart as the Spirit began to recall all that is written here and applying it personally to my own soul. I want to speak for a little while this morning on the grace of God as manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want us to see His person. There came a group through our city in April called the Moonies. And before them, there were those of the way. We dealt with them in the bookstore and on the streets. And they tried to take my living God away from me. They tried to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they tried to take away the Trinity from me. And I delivered a series of messages on the deity of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. And I don't know when He has become so precious to my soul to see Him in that glory that He had. And I would like to picture the scene for you this morning. And let's pray that the Spirit will carry us along on His wings, and we may behold what He has done for us. We do not try to duplicate what God gave last night or what He gave in the previous hour. We praise God, and I trust that He's given every one of the speakers this week a message from His throne for our hearts, whatever it is and whatever is needed. And this has been upon my heart: the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in His condescension to die in our place. Our Lord, there in the 13th of John, had showed Himself the servant of men as He knew His hour had come, that He was to be taken out of the world. But having loved His own that was in the world, He loved them unto the end. And we know how He washed their feet to show them and to show us how we should minister one to another. And then you know how He opened up in that 14th chapter of John that He was going back to the Father, and that He was one with the Father, and there was no way to the Father but by Him. Then He opened up to us in that 15th chapter that He was the vine and we were the branches. And how He loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Then He comes into that 16th chapter and told them of how He was going to send the Comforter and what He was going to do. And how He was going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that He was going to take the things of Christ and reveal them unto our hearts. And then He told us in that last verse of chapter 16 of John, "Fear not, little flock. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then we come into the 17th chapter, into this high priestly prayer. And every time I read it, I'm reminded of what our Lord told Moses there on the backside of the desert. You better take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And here we are on holy ground. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, as nowhere else in the Scripture, bearing His heart as our mediator, as He prays unto the Father. One petition for Himself, that He may be glorified with that glory that He had before the world was. And then all of the other petitions were given in behalf of His people, whom He said were not of the world, but He was going to call out of the world. And that He didn't pray for the world, but He prayed for those whom the Father had given Him out of the world. And as our dear brother brought in the preceding message, how that our Lord sanctified Himself, set Himself apart, that each one whom He would justify by His Spirit would be set apart and sanctified by that same Spirit, and we may walk in newness of life, in holiness, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, I say, preach it. Justification and sanctification cannot be separated. When we do, we have separated the gospel, and then it has no effect. I would like to speak upon that glory this morning, and I want you to watch it as the Lord would unfold it to our hearts. In verse 1, I would call your attention, first of all, to the fact that He lift up His eyes unto heaven, and He said, Father. 6 times in this chapter, He says, Father. I don't know of a more precious word, a more gracious word, coming from the heart of our living Christ, and we who have been made sons of God, by this precious Son who died in our place, for us to say, Father. Then He goes on down, He calls Him Holy Father. Isn't that precious? And then He calls Him Righteous Father. Down in that 21st verse, He's the Righteous Father. And as He is pleading, He is pleading that one petition for Himself and the balance for us. I want you to notice that He said, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. Now, many a time it had been said that His hour was not come when they tried to shove Him off the cliff at Nazareth in Luke 4. He passed through their midst because His hour had not come. He told Mary, His mother, in John 2, My hour has not yet come. And yet He could say in John 12, My hour is come. And in John 13, knowing that His hour had come, and that He was going to the Father, and having loved His own, He loved them to the end. And now He was reminding His Father that the hour had come. I want you to remember that we see our Lord in this chapter as our mediator. He's in His office as mediator, mediating between God and man. He is not speaking here as the Son of God, and yet He was. He was speaking here as the Son of Man, the mediator. And He is speaking and pleading for His people. Remember what Hebrews 5 tells us, that in He was heard in that He feared in His earthly flesh. And if He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, how much more shall we? He feared. See Him now in His humanity. The hour had come. The hour that had been upon His and the Father and the Spirit's heart from eternity. All that had gone on in the holy councils of eternity. All that had been signed and sealed in that everlasting covenant made and sealed with His precious blood in eternity. all for which he waited to that day in the appointed time, in the fullness of time, he should come and be born of a woman made under the law that he might redeem us from the law. All of that which he had carried his whole lifetime through, 33 and a half years, the hour had come. Picture it. He loved us from eternity. We were accepted in him from eternity. We were glorified him in eternity. That purpose and plan that the Trinity, the Godhead, had purposed in eternity was now to come to fruition, to fulfillment. The hour had come. I want you to hear that. I want our hearts to meditate upon that and to understand it. The hour has come. The great time and great need. Let us use that in our own lives. For the Lord Jesus was setting down a pattern here for our praise. Father, the hour is come. And that's been my prayer. The hour has come for me to speak. And I've been knowing about it for 2 months. And the Lord laid this on my heart in the hospital as I laid there to preach upon this morning. Father, the hour is come. Believer, if you and I would carry that through our whole lifetime, that the Father is interested in us even as he was interested in the Son. And as the Son cried to the Father, the hour is come. We can look to our Father through our Mediator, Christ, and the hour is come, no matter what hour it is. The hour of crisis, the hour of misunderstanding, the hour of temptation, the hour when we are to witness for the Lord, the hour, you name it, the hour has come. And this is what he's saying. That hour when he was to offer himself upon the cross for his people. You know, the Word said that for the joy set before him, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I wonder if we could feel somewhat of that heartbeat this morning. The joy that was set before him, the anticipation of all of this from eternity. And here the hour had come. He was going to accomplish it all. He was going to lay down for those whom the Father laid down his life, for those whom the Father had given him for eternity. He had carried him like the high priest upon his heart, upon his bosom, for all these billions of years, these millenniums. And now the hour had come. And I would like to make this personal. I see this in here. That from eternity, he had the name of Leroy Shelton Jr. written upon his heart and upon the palms of his hands, and the hour had come that he had come to the time when he's to die for all of my sins. This is what he's telling to the Father. The hour has come. And for the joy that was set before him. Brethren, he didn't run from the cross. He ran to the cross. I can't see anything else in the Scripture but that he ran to the cross for the joy that was set before him. Because he was going to bring many sons into glory. So he gave himself for all of our sins. I wonder this morning if deep down in your own soul you can say my name. He carried my name there. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Here he was, the holy temple come down from heaven. He was going to take that temple and offer it upon the altar. He was standing by the altar now, with his hand raised like Abraham to slay his own self upon the altar. He was going to lay himself down. And he said, Father, I want you to glorify me as I have glorified thee here upon earth. I want your strength. I want your help. I want you to do through me all that you have planned and purposed to do from eternity. And brother, let me tell you something this morning. One sight of the glory of the condescension of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. One glimpse of His glory in coming down and laying aside that glory and coming down to take upon Himself the form of sinful flesh and of man that He may die upon the cross in our place. One glimpse of this glory, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I will never be the same person again. Never again. Never again. Because I tell you what He does. He gives us a glimpse of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He gives us the sweetness and glory of heaven. We're never able to feed upon the things of this world anymore. Then we prove that sanctification that we've been justified because we do not whore after the things of the world, but we go willingly with a heart that wants to follow after the things that are made for our peace. One glimpse of His glory at Calvary, and we don't sin. Sin is the plague of the believer's heart. I do believe it. He cries out against it. Father, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, and I brought my notebook last night to outline Pastor John, and I got so interested in the message, I forgot to outline it. I don't know whether you can outline us or not, but we're going to try to go by a few points. I want you to notice how long he waited. 33.5 years. You know, this is patience. I see here the patience of our Savior in waiting. Lord, give us that patience to wait. He waited 33.5 years that He might die for our sins. How long have you waited before? How long did you wait before salvation came? Or after salvation came, how long have you and I waited that sin would be eradicated? Waited. How long we've got to put up with this flesh and wait for the Lord from glory? He waited. We must wait patiently upon the Lord. God's appointed time. But oh, I pray that the words we heard in the other message will go home to our hearts, and as we wait, we will be sanctified wholly in spirit, soul, and body. Sanctified. I want you to notice what complete trust He had as the Son of Man. Father, glorify Thy Son that Thy Son may glorify Thee. He was one with the Father. That should be our example. All for more of this kind of faith that He exercised. That as we are one with the Father, He has become our Father through redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would have that simple, childlike, trusting faith in Him in every trial and circumstance of life as we wait for the Lord from glory. Father, as I have glorified Thee, glorify Thy Son. He believed He was going to do it. 1 John 3 tells us that he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And if we have that hope, Christ is coming for us. And that as we have glorified Him upon earth in no comparison with the way the Son glorified the Father, but if we glorify Him upon earth, then we have that hope that He's going to glorify us by His grace in eternity. And he that hath that hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Then the petition that he offered, Father, glorify Thy Son as Thou hast glorified Him. Now I want you to get this. I pray that the Spirit will take it home to our hearts. both in verse 1 and in verse 5, he says, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Remember, he is speaking here as a mediator. And this is what he's saying. Watch this petition. May we understand a little of it. May we, by the Spirit of God, be able to enter into a little of what is here. It is this. Father, I want you to take me, the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, in my humanity, in my flesh, and I want you to take me as the Son of Man, and I want you to take me back into glory with that same glory that I had with thee as the Son of God throughout eternity. I want you to glorify humanity. And you know what he was doing? In this prayer, he was saying, Father, if you receive me back into thy presence as the God-man, then when you do that, you're going to receive back into your presence all of the sons afresh whom I have redeemed. You're going to receive them into glory with me, partial with me throughout eternity. This was his prayer. Take the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, in his human flesh, back into the Godhead, back into eternity, and give the glory that I had then as the Son of God. He never ceased to be God when he became the Son of Man. And when he's praying, he is praying for all of his people. You know, this humbles us. This breaks us at the feet of the Lord. That we be included in such a number. And that the Lord Jesus Christ would be praying for us to be received in himself. Being the head of the church in all things. He might take us all to glory with him. All of the children that he bought with the price of his own precious blood. Was this prayer answered? Yes, sir, this prayer was answered. He received that glory. If you'll go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, we read there, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's there. Hebrews 1 tells us that when he had purged us from all of our sins, he sat down upon the right hand of the majesty upon high. And having led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. And he received us into glory with him. And we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at this very hour because he has been accepted. We have been accepted in the Beloved, and we wait for that day for the manifestation of the sons of God from glory when we shall be with him. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be with him. All right, I want you to notice something else as we go into this. I want you to watch the petitions that he prays. In which way did our blessed Lord desire to be glorified? Which way did our blessed Lord desire to be glorified? He could have been glorified by going to heaven from the Mount of Transfiguration. He had kept God's law perfect. He had fulfilled all that God had sent to do. But if he'd have gone to heaven from the Mount of Transfiguration, he would have gone to heaven alone. That was not His glory for which He came. Except a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die, it cannot bring forth. His glory, brethren, was His death. Glorify thy Son. And this is what He desired. For we have in Isaiah chapter 42 these words prophesied concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus. In verse 1, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Again in verse 6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light to the Gentiles. To do what? To open the blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. How is he going to get this glory? God said that glory he would not give to another, but he gave it to the Son of Man because he was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And brethren, he has given us this glory. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ photographed upon our hearts. A man may be lost and not know it. But I don't see how any man this side of heaven could ever be saved and not know it. Because when the photographer stands there and he sets that camera to focus it in that split second, when those shutters are open and it closed, it has got that impression there upon that film. And in the moment of salvation, we might be like little tree, like little babes, and we are. We might be like men walking as trees. We might not know what it's all about. God's going to have to teach us. But I know that when God gives us that grace by His, through faith, to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saves our never dying souls, and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is photographed upon our souls, we'll never get away from it. We'll never forget it. Why? Because Christ comes into our hearts as our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. He becomes precious to us. For unto them therefore which believe, He is precious. He is precious. He is precious. Well, what was the joy set before? What was the glory that he wanted? Well, he tells us in verse 2 of John 17 that he was going to give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. Now, this was his glory. He was going to give eternal life. Now, he could not give this eternal life except he die. So to give this eternal life, he had to go through the grave. He had to die beneath our sins. In bringing many sons into glory, in taking away the sting out of death, and to slay him who through all our lives we feared him, Satan, who had the sting of death and the power of death. He came to put him aside and put him away and to slay him. This was the work that he had in mind. Watch it. What he was saying here was, Father, I want you to glorify me now as the substitute of my people. I'm going to have to confess to you all this morning. I have never yet been able to go to the depths of this, nor the height of this, nor the length of this, nor the breadth of this, that God would come down and die for my never dying soul. I've never been able to get to the depths of this. And this is what he was asking the Father for. Father, I want you to glorify me now. How? Not to save me from this hour. But I want you to glorify me as I become the substitute for all the people whom thou hast given me. That's what I want. Listen to it. Watch it. Father, I want you to lay all my people's sins upon me. Lay them there. That's going to be my glory. That's going to be my glory. To carry them to Calvary. Lay them all upon me. Don't care what they are. Lay them all there. Bring them all and put upon. And brethren, if one of our sins had been left off of him, we'd be in a fix this morning. I would. For he purged us from all of our sins. He purged us from all of our sins. He said, Father, lay them all on there. Go to the first chapter of Romans and you'll find a commentary on the sins that were laid there. Unrighteousness and malice and hatred and envy and strife and pride and murder and rape, you name it. Everything, all of our rebellions. This is precious to my soul. He said, lay them all. And yet when they were laid upon him, and he felt the weight of them, and he looked in that cup and saw that he was going to have to drink it, his holy soul abhorred that sin that he asked the Father to lay upon him. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That cup that he had to drink, to the last dregs, was all of the sins of his people, because he became the sinner in our place. Father, lay it upon me. So that when I die beneath their sins, that you can take my sacrifice in their behalf. That's going to be my glory, to see many sons come into glory. And to see the vilest and the filthiest and the most wicked sinner that ever lived. As Paul said, the chief of sinners. That no matter who knocks at my door and say, Lord, will you have mercy upon my never dying soul? No matter who knocks there. Who's that? I've got the blood of other men upon my hands. Lord, will you receive me? And the Savior can say, I paid for those. You don't know what I did to my children and my wife. You don't know how I lived in rebellion against you. You don't know the proud heart and the unrighteous and unthankfulness that I've lived in. You know what I've done. My thoughts have been only evil continually. And as that poor sinner kneels there, or stands there, prostrate there before the Savior, knocks at that door for salvation, that the Master can look down and the Savior can look down and say, Father, let him in. I bore that sin in my own body upon the tree. That's the glory that God, the Son, receives when many sons come into glory. Don't you know what Luke 15 tells us, that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth? Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has seen of the travail of his soul in being satisfied, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross, and he's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. He'll not close the door till the last one gets in, so that when one comes to knock, who's there? Lord, I blaspheme your name. I've killed your children. I've put them in prison. Who are you? I'm Saul of Tarsus. Let him in. Let him in. I don't know another sinner living that tried to work his way into heaven any more than I did. I don't believe much more self-righteous sinner ever lived in the church than I did. But I never cease praising the Lord when he gave me that grace to knock. He gave me that grace to call as a poor sinner. Who's that? What do you want? Lord, I want you. I never forget as long as I live. And I sat down that day before God and I said, Lord, you're sovereign. You can save me or you can damn me. Whatever you want to do, you're sovereign. I didn't know it then, but in that confession before him, I was telling him what he wanted to hear. His hands were free then. He didn't turn me aside. He didn't send me to hell. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Oh, Christ. You remember there in the tent of Mark when the blind Bartimaeus kept crying after it? And he asked him what he wanted. Finally heard him what he wanted. I want to receive my sight. And the 20th of John, our Lord found Mary walking around the garden, and he said, "Who are you looking for?" "I'm looking for the Lord. Where have you taken him? What do you want?" "For the joy that was set before him. He doesn't turn any down." He was crying to the Lord to glorify him, that he might undertake for him in this tremendous task that was set before him. He was crying unto God that he would raise him from the dead. He was crying to the Lord, the Father, that he would enthrone him at his right hand. That he would crown him as the head of the church. And that he would send down the gift of the Holy Spirit for his people to comfort them, to fill them, and to take his things and bring them to their attention. He was crying that his many enemies would be brought to his footstool. And then he was crying that all of his people at last would be gathered. Can you picture another scene with me? It's the great white throne judgment. And the judge and the dead are judged. I just picture it in my own mind. It might be entirely different when we get there. But I see the Lord Jesus standing before all of the children that he bought with the price of his own precious blood. He stands with hands outstretched. "Father, these are those whom thou didst given me, and I brought all of them home without the loss of one." And here's the evidence of it. "And we're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." And did you know something? That vile, worthless, hell-deserving sinners who could be the crown and the glory of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, throughout eternity. For everywhere in eternity, the Father is going to look. He's going to see Christ. That was His plan all the while. That was His purpose all the while, that He loved His Son so much that He wanted other sons just like Him. And in eternity, everywhere God the Father looks, He's going to see Christ, because we'll be glorified. Christ will be glorified and magnified in us. We're going to have a body like Christ. We're going to be His glory. And don't you know the joy that's going to fill His soul? It's going to fill all heaven, where He's going to say, "Father, and here are the sons and daughters that thou hast given me, and here's the evidence I received in the house of my friends. This is my glory." Throughout eternity, we will be His crown and be His glory. And we deserve hell. I don't understand this, brother. I'm going to have to confess to you, I don't understand it. I've never yet been able to mind the depth of that, nor gone to the height of it, nor gone to the breadth and the width of it. But I praise the Lord for it. But I, one who deserved hell and rebelled against the living God, He's going to make me one of His children. He's going to be glorified in His people throughout eternity. This was the glory that was set before Him. What a Christ we have. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a Redeemer has been given unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I briefly want to touch on just a few more things. I want you to see the fervency of this petition. I want you to see the power of this petition. And I want you to see this morning, by the grace of God, that you and I are called upon to pray the same way, with the same fervency, for we have been brought in that same relationship to the Father that the Son had. How do we know this? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why I walk in unbelief sometimes, I'll never know. This plagues my soul. Why I ever doubt Him, I'll never know. But He's given us all of heaven. Why, He pled first of all His relationship. "Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son." His first petition was His relationship as the Son. What weight that carried? What weight that carried? He was praying to his Father. Not to an enemy. Not to someone whose reluctance he had to overcome. He wasn't praying to a defeated God. I began a series of messages Sunday morning in our pulpit on the teachings of Christ from the four Gospels. And I started on Christ and the sovereignty of God. And I said, the Gospels nowhere has the Lord Jesus Christ pictured our God as a defeated God. As a God that is dethroned. Nowhere. He wasn't praying to a defeated God. He was praying to his Father who sat upon his throne. He pleaded this relationship. And we're his children. Go through the book of 1 John. Little children. My little ones. Little children. He wants us to come as little children. My Father. He pled his relationship. Second, he prayed the, as a petition, the glory of God the Father, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Father, I've come thus far, and I want you to glorify me now. Let me go on through this glory to receive this glory, and so that I may glorify thee. I want to spell out as the Logos, the Word of God, I want to spell out what you are. I want to show forth your love. That's what he's saying. Lord, I want to spell out that love, for God so loved that he gave. I want to show forth that love, Father. This is going to be my glory, to show forth your love. The world doesn't know your love, but I know it. I've been in thy bosom since eternity, and I have reveled in that love. And I want others to know that love, but they cannot know it unless I go down into hell for them and bring them up out of the vortex of hell. Father, I want to glorify thee. I want to show forth thy love. And then, Father, I want to show forth thy mercy. I want to show to what depths thy compassion will go. Why do we give up sinners? Why do we give up on situations? My Lord didn't give up. His arm of compassion and mercy can reach down to the lowest. He said, I want to show forth thy mercy. And he says, I want to also show forth how great thou art, thy power in sustaining under all of this. I want to show this forth. And then I want to show forth thy faithfulness to all of the promises that you gave in the Old Testament. All that should be fulfilled in me, Father. And going down and coming back, I'm going to fulfill all that the Old Testament prophets spoke concerning me. Did not he upbraid those walking on the road to Emmaus? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Should not the Son of Man enter into his glory and to fulfill all things which were spoken of him in the law and the prophets? Father, I want to show forth thy faithfulness. And then he asked in the third place, he used his commission as pleading ground. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Thou hast given me a work to do. And I want to carry this commission out. And all our brethren this morning, each one of us have a commission. You sit in the pew. Do you know you have a commission as much as he who stands in the pulpit? Yes, you do. May we realize this. He says, I have a commission, and I can't carry it out except thou just glorify me and give me the power. And then I want you to notice in the fourth place, he uses a pleading ground. Those whom thou hast given me. The objects that he was going to the cross for. Father, I want you to save them. And this is the object. The object set before me, I plead this. He said, these are the objects for whom I came. These are the objects for whom I live. These are the objects for whom I'm going to die. These are the objects on whom I'm going to be enthroned in heaven for. So, Father, for their sake, I sanctify myself and set myself apart. He used this as a pleading ground. And brethren, cannot we use that precious scripture in Isaiah 53 as we pray and wrestle and plead for the souls of men, that the Lord Jesus Christ will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied? That's what we should pray for. And as we plead, as God gives us the promises for our loved ones and for our people and for those around us and for the whole world, as we pray, we don't know who the elect are. We should pray as it was George Mueller was said to have prayed for one man 63 years, and somebody asked him why he prayed 63 years. He said, because God didn't save him in 62 years. He never gave up. He wanted Christ to see of the travail of his soul. And why shouldn't we pray for Christ's sheep? We don't know who they are. Let's labor. Let's work. We don't know what God is going to do. Let's do everything we can that Christ will see of the travail of his soul, because these were the objects that were before. He said, Father, you have given them to me, and I've got to wash them in that precious blood. I've got to clothe them in that precious righteousness. I've got to unite them to my person, and I've got to bring them to thee. Therefore, this was the petition that he prayed. And then fifth, I've glorified thee on earth. I want you to glorify me because I've glorified thee. Pastor, you mean to tell me that we weak, poor, sinful men can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ down here? Yes, we can. He wants us to. Walking in that way of holiness and righteousness, we can glorify Him. And this can be pleading grounds. Father, my Lord, as we have glorified thee, glorify us. Be with us continuously. Go with us. I don't understand the depths of that. But I do know that as we are related to the Father by the new birth and have become His children and we have been accepted in the Beloved, then He is pleased when we glorify Him. And we can plead, Lord, I want to glorify Him. Glorify me that I may glorify Thee. Give me more of Yourself that I may glorify Thee, because we have glorified Him upon the earth. And then he mentions in verse 10 and 22, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Father, I am glorified in them. These are those whom thou gavest me. I want to share my glory with them. They're mine. You gave them to me, and I'll not go to heaven without it. Brethren, can we get this bowl? Can we take the promises of the living God and come to His throne and wrestle there with Him and say like John Knox, give me Scotland or I die. Lord, give me my family or I die. Or do like Abraham, willing to take the knife and to kill them, but yet knowing without the shadow of a doubt that if he kills him, God's going to have to raise him from the dead, because he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be. My brethren, I believe we're on praying grounds and pleading grounds for our loved ones and our friends and those whom God has laid on our heart. We're on safe ground when we can cry like that and take the promise with boldness to the throne of grace and say, Lord, though you slay them, yet we believe you'll raise them from the dead if you do, because here's the promise that you've given us. Don't tell me I can't. Don't tell me I can't lay Isaiah 44, 3, 4, and 5 at the feet of my risen Lord and said, Lord, you said you'd pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and that you'd pour out thy spirit upon my seed, a blessing upon my offspring, and they shall spring up as grass among the willows by the watercourses, and I shall hear them say, I am of the Lord. Would you tell me I can't plead that promise? That's what our Lord did. And He wants us to come with this fervency. You know, when we're pleading like that, we're looking for every sign that God is working. We're waiting upon Him. Beloved, if God would send us away from this conference, and I came praying that He would, our hearts would be broken to pray and to weep over sinners and to cry that Christ would see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. He prayed for us. Let's pray for others. Then last but not least, He says in verse 4, I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. In anticipation of a few hours He would finish the work on the cross, He pleads this, I have finished the work that Thou gavest Me to do. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. What a blessing to know the work of God's salvation is finished. The Blessed Trinity is glorified in all of this work. And so our triune God can receive poor sinners as they come to Him. I have to truthfully confess to you this morning, I don't know how any soul lives without the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how any soul lives without the throne of grace to which we can come and pour out our hearts to the living God. If you were to tell me this morning that I no longer had access to the throne of grace, that I had no one who would listen to me, that I had no one to cast my sins upon and my cares upon, I would tell you, send me on to hell where I deserve to go, because I have nothing. And yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, in my desperation, in my own sinfulness, to cast myself upon Him and said, Lord Jesus, to know that You can, and that You understand. Ain't many people understand me. I don't understand myself a lot of times. But I got one who does. And to know that He understands. He's satisfied. He's finished. We can come and cast our all upon Him. He receives. It's not one time. Not two times. But as one of the old divines said, 1,000 times a day, He snatches me from the pit of hell and gives me grace to go on. This is every day, because every one of us would damn ourselves to hell even this morning if it wasn't for that constraining and restraining grace of God. So He's praying for us that our faith fails not. Then I'll give you this last thought and we close. Christ accepted for us is the pledge of our glory. Having purged us from all of our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high because we have been accepted in the Beloved. Christ accepted for us is the pledge of our glory. He's gone then. And if He was to lose a little fingernail, then He wouldn't be complete in glory. The only reason people do not believe in the preservation of the saints and the perseverance of the saints is that their eyes are blinded to this blessed truth of God's Word. I could say, I wonder why they don't believe it. It is because their eyes have never beholden this great thing. And as our dear beloved brother preached this morning, grace doesn't give us a license to sin, but it's by that grace that we are held continuously as we walk. Therefore, Christ accepted for us is the pledge of our glory. He's already there. And we're going to share it with Him. Second, Christ dwelling in us is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ dwelling in us is the hope of glory. He's already there in His person. But by faith He dwells in us, so that's our hope of glory. He's already there as our pledge that we have this hope. And he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Then third, Christ walking with us, the light of glory. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1:7, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Christ walking with us is our light of glory. Because He gives us that light day by day from His Word to walk. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Fourth, Christ on us. The garments of glory. For He is given unto us. As Isaiah 61:3 tells us, the garments of righteousness. Trees of the Father's planted. He has clothed us in that perfect righteousness. Christ on us as our righteousness is the garments of our glory. And then fifth, Christ's fullness, the measure of our glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then as He tells us in Ephesians 3:19, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God which passeth knowledge. And that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And He's given us a little bit every day of this fullness of Himself. He keeps feeding us of this heavenly manner. And He keeps giving us His fullness. Have you ever cried for the fullness of God? Christ Himself, our crown of glory. As He tells us in 1 John 3, Beloved, it might not appear what we shall be, but when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and we're going to have a body like His. Christ Himself, the crown of our glory, we will be with Him throughout eternity. So here our Lord Jesus was praying, and that prayer shall be answered. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And these are the sons which I bought with the price of mine own precious blood. I trust the Lord by His Spirit has given you a little bit of the foretaste of the glory of Christ this morning. We will see Him. For thus, for those of us who know Him, He is precious. He is our life. We cannot live without Him. He is our light. We must walk with Him. May the blessings of our gracious Lord rest upon each one of us. Our Father, we thank Thee for this hour to which You have brought us. The hour has come and the hour has gone. And we ask that that which was of Thee will be glorified and magnified. And that this people in Thy servant will have eyes only for Yon lovely Lord. We'll see Him in His glory. We'll see the King in His beauty. We'll be ravished. Our hearts will be ravished with Him. And that as Thou dost draw us, we will run after Him and serve Him in His holy temple all the days of our life. And our fathers, these two messages have gone forth this morning. This holy living that You desire. May we see that it comes by keeping our eye upon the glorified Christ as the Spirit of Christ works and dwells in us. Lord, bless each speaker in this conference. Give that grace to rightly divide the word of truth. And may our hearts be revived. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.